are listening to Sports Jam. This week's topic, football, or as it's called in the United States, soccer. It's the most popular sport on the planet, except here in the U.S. And why is that? To talk the issues, we have Chad Cetera, Lee Vowell, and Connor Morissette. I'll be the moderator. My name's Rob Steele. Lee, you have a soccer program here on the Sports Jam Network called The Common Bounce, so let's start with you. The sport has been popular among high school and younger players in the States for generations now, but it hasn't garnered a whole lot of attention on the professional level. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I don't think we've had the professional leagues to actually be able to take over and create a splash worldwide. And getting world players into the Major League Soccer has been a big deal, and that makes the league better. But to me, the reason we don't have professional leagues as far as Major League Soccer, which has been around for 20 years, it just recently has Major League Soccer gotten Beckham, Henri from France. It's definitely made a big difference as far as Major League Soccer's popularity. It is getting more popular, but it's never going to reach the level of being part of the American conscience until we get better players. To me, the problem with soccer, as far as, you know, worldwide versus the United States, is it's not part of our culture in the United States. It is a matter of we really like things that we're good at, and we're not good at soccer. We're good at American football, which a lot of other countries view as strange looking because of the uniforms. We're good at baseball, although even that, with World Baseball Classic that happened, people don't pay a lot of attention to it because we're not winning it. Japan, Korea wins it, so we just kind of play it off. And we're good at basketball. But, you know, when it comes down to soccer, if we were better at it, we'd pay more attention to it. It also goes back to the fact of the sports we play organically in this country. You did say it's popular among young people, but overall it's really not. There's still a lot more people who play football and baseball. And those sports, you play with your hands and your feet. This is just a foot sport and a head sport for the most part. So I think that has something to do with it well. But I think it really comes down to the fact that Americans just, it's an ego thing. We only really follow what we're good at. We don't follow Formula One versus NASCAR. And NASCAR is a big deal in this country. Unfortunately, I'm not a NASCAR fan, but, you know, I'm not an athlete because I drive a car. That doesn't make me an athlete. But it's still Formula One versus NASCAR. NASCAR, you only turn left. Formula One, you actually drive around the road. But we're not good at Formula One. We're good at NASCAR. It really comes down to an ego thing, culturally speaking.
Connor, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Lee. I think that you look to the major leagues in Europe, and for soccer, you know, those are where the best players reside. And then, you know, it's just been up until recently we've seen some of those players come to Major League Soccer at the very end of their careers. But, you know, Major League Soccer as a whole, it's kind of like the minor leagues, if I can make that comparison, just because the competition in Europe is just so much better. You look in England and Spain and then Germany this season, some of the teams coming out of there, you know, they are world powers. In the MLS, we see, you know, Chelsea scrimmage the MLS All-Stars in the offseason, and, you know, the All-Stars were able to win this year, but usually what happens is a team like Chelsea goes over and really just dominates them. So when you have an All-Star team go up just against a regular team from England, you know, that kind of makes me second-guess the whole, you know, the whole thing about how Major League Soccer, you know, is a professional league, because it is good. You know, it's professional. Don Garber, the commissioner, he does a good job. But you just look in Europe, so much better competition, so many better players, and I think that's why it's not that big in America. It's true that, you know, we're not that good at it, and I definitely agree with that point. But the league in the United States, it's just not up to par with what they have in Europe, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I did want to get something clarified with that. When the All-Star team from the U.S. plays Chelsea, it's not a Chelsea All-Star team. It's just like Chelsea's, I don't know what the name of their team is.
Exactly. It's just kind of like, it's just Chelsea Football Club against the MLS All-Stars. You know, you imagine.
Kind of like, if I put it in baseball terms, it would be like the National League All-Stars versus the Houston Astros.
That's exactly right.
Astros win in this case.
Yeah, but I mean, Chelsea's a little bit better than Houston, but you guys are definitely right. I mean, it does come down.
No, I think Lee, the comparison is that the MLS All Stars were like Houston compared to Chelsea and an All Star team in baseball.
Well, yeah, just reverse it.
And I cannot disagree with that.
So, Chad, what do you think about all this?
Oh, boy. I think what this last 5 minutes have done to me is allowed me to get caught up in my sleep. When I think of soccer, I think of, well, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of soccer in the United States is Brandi Chastain ripping off her shirt in the 1999 Women's World Cup. Okay, that's the only thing I can think of. Name me one soccer player, American soccer player, that is any good. Okay, you can.
Alexi Lalas.
Okay, but he's retired. He's gone. He's history.
So, he didn't say current.
Okay, but.
Anyway, sorry.
Name one, you might give me one. Name two, name three, you can't do that. In baseball, you can name two or three on each team, including the Houston Astros. In basketball, you can name the starting lineup of every team. In football, even with helmets on, you can name the players. The problem with soccer or football overseas is Americans just don't care. They're not exposed to it. It's a boring game, to be honest with you. It is like watching grass grow. You see one guy kick it to another guy who kicks it over to another guy who kicks it over to another guy. Oop, one guy flops on the ground, pretends his ankle hurts. Wait, that's basketball, too. I digress. Back to this. But one guy pretends that he's hurt. The other guys keep on going down the field. And then you have another guy looks like he's on a breakaway opportunity to score a goal, and the referees raise this big flag up and says, no, you're offsides. I don't get it. I am not a soccer fan. I don't hate soccer, but I'm not a soccer fan. Maybe it's because I don't understand the rules. But to sit there and watch a game for 45 minutes in one half, take 20 minutes off for halftime. Oh, wait, 45 minutes, one half, plus stoppage time, which how they calculate that too, don't understand that how that works. So 45 plus 2 plus 5, whatever it may be, take a 20-minute break and do it again for 45 straight minutes, and they kick the ball around and score one or two goals, sometimes even score zero goals, and end in a tie, it kills me. It does. And I guess you can say I'm anti-soccer growing in the United States, but when you guys, Lee and Connor, both sat there in their opening and said the best players are from Europe and that the United States Major League Soccer is all based on European players coming over to make it popular, you guys, we have a problem here. And I mean, the problem is we're never going to – this is never going to be a popular sport.
I mean, if I could respond to Chad quickly, I mean, you just look at the United States national team, and there are players from American descent who do play in Europe, whether it's Tim Howard with Everton, Clint Dempsey with Tottenham, Michael Bradley with Roma. You have guys like Jozy Altidore, who plays in the Dutch league. Brad Guzan, who's the backup goalie for the United States national team, he starts on Aston Villa, which is a Premier League team in England. So, I mean, Chad, I understand that a lot of these guys you probably haven't heard of, but these guys are pulling their weight, and they're doing very well in the dominant league in the world right now, the dominant leagues, I should say. So, I mean, you're right, they're not really that. You know, it's not really that big here, but there are some American guys who are making some big strides for American soccer. And, you know, in Brazil at the World Cup next year, America, you know, I'm not expecting anything big, but they definitely should be able to get out of the group. And then who knows what happens from there in the round of 16.
Right. I hope they get out of the group, but but you brought up a good point. There are more Americans playing today that actually have a say in other leagues and premier leagues around the world than there ever has been. Dempsey, Howard. If you take the three goalies for the American team and the World Cup, they're going to be better than a lot of other goalies on other teams because of the way they grew up. And they're not just playing soccer in this country. They're playing baseball. They're playing there are other sports with their hands. And so, therefore, we actually have a greater group to choose from as far as goalies. But as you pointed out, Connor, which was a great point, now at this point, they're playing in other leagues around the world. They're not playing in MLS because those are the leagues that matter.
Are they getting paid higher over there than they would here in MLS?
Absolutely.
MLS actually has a very strict cap, a salary cap in the league, just so that the league doesn't go under, to be honest. So they're definitely making more money elsewhere, the cap keeps going up a little bit, and eventually one could hope, because I know Chad doesn't like soccer. He says he doesn't hate it, but it's he likes hockey, and there are a lot of similarities, because as far as the way the movement goes down the field, you still have the same kind of similarity. You can have offsides in hockey, and I'm a big hockey guy too, as you can in soccer. The pitch obviously is bigger than a rink, so on and so forth, but the idea behind it all is pretty much the same. In soccer...
Lee, can I stop you real quick there? Because you just tried to compare hockey to soccer, and one of the big differences in hockey, there's a blue line, and it is easy to understand. Even somebody who doesn't understand hockey will say, oh, well, if they're offsides, well, describe offsides. Well, they went over that line before the puck did. Okay, describe it in soccer. Well, the ball made it to the offensive guy before the I can't even describe what an offside is.
Yeah, but that's not. It's even easier in soccer to me. The ball has there is a offensive player who is in front of a defensive player when the ball makes it through. That's offsides. It doesn't matter what the lines are. That's just the simple rule, and that could happen anywhere on the pitch. It's much easier than hockey because you have the lines, and people don't understand icing and offsides and all, yada yada yada. Offsides is much easier in soccer to understand to me.
I definitely agree, Lee. I mean, I think it's more exciting. I mean, just look at hockey. Imagine the blue line moving. I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, that's crazy, but in soccer, that's exactly what it is. If you're the second-to-last defender and an attacker's making a run, you know, you have a split second to decide whether you want to try to pull the offside trap or whether you want to run with them. And I just think that, you know, soccer, it's definitely confusing, but if you watch a lot of games, just like with any sport, you'll understand the rules. And Chad, I mean, I know you're not a big soccer guy, but you think it's a boring game, and I understand that. But I feel like if you were to really sit down and watch a few games, you know, the rules, it's not as hard as it seems, you know, if you just get a small sample size.
I'm not saying that I disagree with you guys, because honestly, I do watch soccer every 4 years, because that's when the world decides the championship. So I know the rules, but to play the role of a devil's advocate, to play a novice fan, a novice soccer fan versus a novice hockey fan, you've got to sit there, and to me, to see something to where, okay, that's the objective, you can't go over that without this happening first, to me, if you're a novice and you've never seen either sport, well, then you can paint the line. You can literally paint the picture by seeing that blue line. That's where I take the correlation between the two. But back to what I was saying, the United States gets involved in this whole World Cup every 4 years. The Super Bowl is played every year. The World Series is played every year. The Stanley Cup is played every year. Boxing, they even box, they have boxing matches more often than they do soccer championships. Floyd Mayweather went to jail, and he's boxed in more matches than there have been World Cups in the last 4 years. I mean, think about that.
Well, the World Cup is not the end be all of the soccer world. You have Champions League, just like you had semifinals last week. There's a Champions League final that comes up on May 25th. That's what the world cares about. World Cup is a big deal, but it's a country.
But we're talking about the United States. The world could give two craps what happens over in Europe.
Exactly, which goes back to my original point, and that's an ego thing. We are taught in this country that what we have has to be great, and we have to be the best at. Just because we don't care in the United States where the rest of the world cares, there are South Americans who care what happens in Champions League in Europe. Just because we don't care as a country doesn't mean it's bad. It just means we don't care. And I know that I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but what's going to make the MLS better is when we attract better players. More people will care. Also, we have a growing Hispanic community in this country, and they care about soccer. So it's not focused on World Cup because America cares. It's the argument here to me is, why is it popular in the world and not in America? In America, it's not popular because of an ego thing. We're not good at it. But it is important, and it's good.
And, Chad, you bring up the whole thing about the World Cup once every 4 years. It's the world of soccer, it's just completely different than anything we're used to here in America. For soccer, you have club soccer, which is where you get, you know, the English Premier League and all the leagues in Europe, the MLS. And then you have international soccer, which is when you represent your country. So imagine, you know, my team in football, American football, the New England Patriots. Imagine if, you know, this week the Patriots have a game against, say, the Jets, but then the next week they get a week off to go train with, say, you know, the Americans go train, the Canadians go train, if, you know, there were Canadians in American football. But, like, it's so popular globally that pretty much most players play on two teams, their club team and then their national team, and that's just something we're not accustomed to seeing in the United States with those sports. So you talk about the World Cup and how it's once every 4 years, but in the world of global soccer, once every 4 years makes perfect sense, because you can't have such a big international competition while having these big domestic competitions that you have yearly. So for me, it might not make sense to you on the outside, but if you really look at soccer through a microscope, you'll see that the World Cup is once every 4 years, and it makes perfect sense because there's so much else going on in the world of soccer that if the World Cup was to be every year, people would get tired of it, and international soccer would definitely suffer.
I like your statement there, Connor, because you said something about they play for one team, and then the next week they play for another club team. Okay, there's a lot of reasons why that happens. Number one is they have to play for two teams because they don't make any money for playing for one team. It's like Americans right now. We have to have two full-time jobs because we can't pay for the electric bill. We can't pay for having food on the table. So soccer players have to play for two teams because they can't pay the electric bill. Number two, the reason why they have to play for two teams because they don't get a lot of money is because it is not as popular as everybody thinks. Yes, it is the world's game. Well, if it was the world's game, then why are soccer players suffering and not getting paid as much? A football player, a kicker, for crying out loud, gets paid $2-3 million to kick an oval-shaped, oblong-looking ball through uprights. I mean, boy, soccer players could do the same thing. They actually have a more constructive round ball that they can do. So I don't buy the whole international thing. If they had a World Cup every 2 years, kind of like they do golf with the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup every 2 years, I think the game would become more popular in the United States.
Well, Chad, you talk about money. I mean, you look at the NFL, there are 32 teams, and there's no other football league like it. It's either the NFL or you're playing for a crappy arena league team, and you're not getting paid at all. You look at the top leagues in Europe, the Spanish league, you know, the French league, the Premier League in Britain, those are all teams of 20-plus, and so you get to more than 32 teams like you have in America, and all those guys play for their national team and their club team, and they are all on massive contracts. So what the whole thing with football and money, yeah, these football guys are making so much money, but that's because there are only 32 teams. For soccer, you can go anywhere, and you'll make a lot of money in the top leagues in Europe, and it's just a way bigger pool where, for football, there's just way more soccer players than football players, and like with every sport, the best players get paid. So the best football players get paid, the best soccer players get paid. So I think that point you make, Chad, is kind of unfair because, you know, soccer, they're just way more teams, and the best teams, they're still paying their guys just fine. You know, it doesn't matter if it's national team or club team. Guys who are the best are still getting paid, and that's the same with the NFL.
Right. For instance, Cristiano Ronaldo, $21.9 million last year. Messi, $21.2 million. And that's not endorsements. That's just from his club. I mean, they just go down. The top 10 in soccer, they are all making north of $15 million from their club team. So it's as far as what they're making, that's not really a question. The best players and the high-level players, for instance, as Chad likes to say, this is a network of fans, and I'm a huge fan of Bayern Munich. A lot of those guys are making a lot of money. It's not that they're not making anything and they have to have a second job. It's not like it was in 1950s with the Yankees. These guys are making a lot of money.
So is there actually a way to make this more popular in the States? Actually, I want to add someone else. We had a latecomer in. Todd Vandenberg, welcome in.
The latecomer, indeed.
Do you have any ideas on how to make soccer more popular in the U.S.?
I would ask them to carry weapons. and have them play their matches in a cage, and then it would be more popular. I'm not, and let me preface this, I mean, obviously that's mostly in jest. I am not a big soccer fan. I mean, I appreciate it, but I can't, I don't appreciate the intricacies of the sport. I mean, I'll watch World Cup and blah, 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 but I'm not nearly as big a fan as Lee is, for instance. So I'm partly part of the problem, if this is a problem. But I really think a big part of it, and Lee and I were going to talk about it, but then we knew this was coming up, is I really do think part of the problem for soccer is that it is not a particularly violent on the field sport. It's extremely violent in the stands, which is great, but they won't televise that part. But, you know, football, I mean, what's our biggest sport? It's football, and it's all about collisions and hitting and stuff. And, yes, there's hitting in soccer, but that's not the goal, no pun intended, of the game. Whereas in football, a lot of it is. I mean, it's about the collision. It's about the impact. It's, you know, and all the metaphors for it, you know, the old routine. It's about baseball is a peaceful sport. I mean, you know, baseball, you just want to go home, and football is war and martial and all the rest of it. And it's true. And I really don't know that it's ever going to be mainstream, like in the top three ever in this country. And you know, as Leah said, we're becoming a more diverse country as far as the demographics and all the rest of it, and a higher Hispanic population, and typically it's more appreciated in Hispanic countries. But I don't know that it's ever going to reach that status just because it doesn't have that gut impact. Is like, wow, I'm going to see some blood today. You know, there's just, it's baseball. I mean, a lot of people complain about baseball, which is my favorite sport by far, because, oh, there's not enough action. And I was like, and there's certainly more action in baseball than there is in soccer. And Lee, I'm not saying there's not action in soccer. It's just you have to understand the sport to realize that there's a lot of action going on just because there's not a goal sport at that moment. So I really do think that the big part of the quote-unquote problem is that there's not nearly enough violence. You know, if someone's goal was to go, oh, well, I'm going to go take out that striker and lay him out, or I'm going to attack the goalie and rush on the ground, it would be more popular in this country.
Now, kind of in the same vein of what you're going with, I did crunch some numbers this week, and Chad had also mentioned this. There, in soccer, it's 2 45-minute periods, as opposed to football, which is 4 15-minute quarters, or basketball, which is 4 12-minute quarters. So you add all this up, soccer is a 90-minute game, football 60, basketball 48. That's just on the clock.
Right.
But if you take the average length of how the games really are, soccer, an average game, is 117 minutes. Football is 187. Basketball is 150. So if you take this and run a percentage of it, soccer, 77% of the time you watch the game is actual play, as opposed to, and it worked out weird this way, football and basketball, it's only 32% of the time that you're actually watching play. The rest of the time is timeouts and penalties and commercials and breaks in. But it's time for a televised commercial timeout.
Maybe that's part of it, because we're a short attention span theater nation.
Well, just to respond to all this, I think that with soccer, you know, there are very little commercials. It's only halftime you get commercials, and if the game ends in a tie, and if it's in a tournament, you'll get commercials then too. And my response to how is this game going to get bigger in the United States is to be, just give it some time, because if you look at demographics from teenagers to young adults, it's the second largest sport besides football. Our generation, you know, my generation, young people this day and age, they're watching soccer like never before. So, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, this is going to be one of the biggest sports in America. And I know you guys can't foresee that right now, but just the information doesn't lie. And young adults right now, I think it's 18 to 24, it goes football 1 and then soccer 2. So just give this sport time, and I think we're going to see a major revolution coming up in these next decades, just because I think soccer is getting a lot bigger. And right now with NBC picking up soccer games in Europe for next season, it's just going to keep growing. And I know you guys probably don't like to hear that, but I think that's the truth.
Oh, no.
I stop you. I want your butt on that one, because you just said something. The demographics of 18 to 24, soccer's number two. That in watching, you guys are watching more soccer in that demographic than ever before, and it's number two behind football. Where are you watching the games? Where are they coming from? They're coming from Europe. Again, I understand where you're going to say that there is a revolution and it's all of a sudden going to change and soccer's going to become a mainstream and we're going to see it 20, 30 years from now on television all the time. It pains me to say, Connor, because I respect you and I respect everything you've done in this network, you're wrong. It can't happen. The NHL, the most popular sport in Canada, had to change the way their games ended because people, even in Canada, as backwards as they are, they understood a tie absolutely sucks. And the NHL figured it out. They changed the end of the games. And until soccer gets to a point where a tie is not acceptable, then I don't think the sport as a whole will ever generate as much interest in the United States as it possibly could.
I think it's important to say soccer doesn't need the United States. So they don't need to change for the United States, where hockey kind of did. You know, hockey, there's only so many people who live in Canada. And Chet, again, I love hockey. Unfortunately, my Blackhawks lost today, but you know, I love hockey as much as you do, but hockey needs the United States, soccer does not.
That's a great point. And just responding to Chad, these are American statistics. Europe soccer is going to be the number one through and through. But just wait, with NBC scheduling every single Premier League game next season, watching English Premier League soccer in America, it's only going to go up. I know, you know, my friends, kids who say, oh yeah, soccer, you know, I like it, but there's too much diving. The diving issue is really the only issue that I think really turns people away from the game completely. Everything else, I think it's turning in favor of the sport, because I think that, again, 20, 30 years down the road, soccer is going to be here, and I think it's going to really surprise you guys.
Well, I would be happy to see that happen. I'm not anti-soccer at all, which some people are, which sounds absolutely insane. And I know no one on this call is anti-soccer. It's just, okay, this is how I see it. But I'm a little older than even Lee, who is incredibly old. And I know 30 years ago, MLS was the big thing. And, wow, soccer's really going to come through. And honestly, this is what they were saying 30 years ago. Soccer is going to take this country by storm. And it didn't. And it's because of the things we're talking about.
Well, that's
it's
because
a slow brewing storm.
You're talking MLS. I'm talking European soccer is going to become mainstream in the United States. And I know that's crazy because the United States, you know, there's no representation. But this TV deal with NBC, I can't talk enough about it. With every single Premier League game being televised, you know, sports aren't on Saturday and Sunday mornings. It is perfect time for soccer to air their games live. And I just think the amount of casual fans are going to go up, and with that, you know, people are going to start taking it more seriously. And you know, it's not in American primetime, which I think works to the advantage of soccer becoming big in America, because it has its own time slot. And again, the NBC TV deal, every single game being on, we haven't had this kind of exposure ever. And forget the MLS. I kind of think the MLS is a lost cause. It's going to be European soccer that's going to take this country by storm, and that might sound crazy right now, but that's how it's going to unfold. Excuse me.
I actually don't think so, because you need a rooting interest, and Lee and I have talked about why tennis isn't more popular in this country. It's because there's no great American male tennis players. Yes, I do see you, Serena, but. There's, you know, it's like, well, how can you get really hyped about, oh, here's the Spaniard guy, oh, here's Jokovic, you know, and a lot of people, unfortunately, don't care. And just because it's got exposure, I mean, NBC is desperate for ratings. I mean, they're fourth or maybe even fifth. I mean, it's a good deal for them, but just because it's available doesn't mean people are going to tune it in. And it would be great if they did, because it's a great game. I'm not knocking it at all. But I think it's going to be a long time before the interest is really there in this country.
I think all it takes is for one American team to break through the World Cup and make it into the semis. And I think that changes everything. Because I think Connor has a good point. Because nowadays, we don't have to have our basic cable. People can pay to watch soccer. And again, because of the growing Hispanic community we have in this country, there's going to be more and more interest in soccer. And now that it is being shown on cable networks, and we're seeing good soccer. We don't have to really reach out, and I'm really interested. It's going to be there for us to see. Now, ESPN has shown, on ESPN3, they've shown some English Premier League games, but now it's going to be, as Connor said, every game. And there's definitely going to be growing interest, and, you know, living in Seattle and seeing those people, how they relate to the Sounders out there, they sell out every game. And they're definitely growing. I mean, the stadiums aren't as big as, like, a football stadium, but, you know, you have 40,000 people at a Sounders game every game. It's definitely growing, as, and Todd has said this, you know, for the last, what, 20 years, we've been saying soccer is going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think at this point, it actually is, and I think because of the access to other leagues and to be able to see other leagues, especially English Premier League, It's definitely going to, you know, it's not going to take off. I'm not saying in 20 years we're going to be talking soccer as the number two sport in the United States, but I think we're going to be talking maybe big five sports. We've already got baseball, basketball, and people, I think basketball is dwindling, but and hockey, and then we have baseball, and then we're going to have soccer. I think soccer is definitely going to continue to grow. It's going to be a slow boil, and I think with the access of the other quality play that we're seeing, and along with MLS growing their own cap, I think we're going to see better players in the United States, and I think we're going to have access to better play overseas that we're actually able to see, and it's going to grow soccer in this country.
I'd like to throw this out, too. The World Cup qualifier, which was aired on, I believe it was just last month, set a TV record for ratings on a soccer game, with 2.85 million viewers for the U.S. versus Mexico game, which is up from the previous high of 1.1 million. So that's a fairly substantial jump.
It's a huge jump. But it's still only 2.85 million, too, at the same time.
Right.
I have a serious question, and this sounds like I'm making a joke, because I usually am, but this is serious. How much betting goes on soccer? Because seriously, betting interests, and of course fantasy sports teams' interests, is a huge driving force behind NFL success.
In Europe, betting is huge. And sorry to cut you off there, but real quick,
no.
You know, in England, if you watch a Premier League game, they have little ads actually on the stadium, you know, out of bounds, and you know, I'd say about 30% of the ads are all agencies, you know, looking to take bets that
sports books.
Yeah, exactly. You go to England, and you know, it's going to be tough to find a fan who hasn't bet on the game. It's that big over there. And again, you know, we talk about America, you know, betting's not legal everywhere. Maybe in Vegas, you know, maybe Las Vegas will have something to do with making soccer a little bit bigger too, but betting in soccer in Europe is massive. So that was that's a good question, and it's big.
Of course, over there, they bet on, you know, when the corgis will pee, so they bet on
everything. Guys, we talked about how we could get this sport to be more popular in the United States. And everything that we've talked about is European League, and we're going to have television of every one of their premier leagues on NBC for the entire 2014 season. So we're going to continue to see Europe thrown down our throats. Well, if we want American soccer to become in the limelight, why is it that these premier leagues, or even the minor leagues in Europe, wouldn't accept a team from the United States? I mean, we cross the ocean to play football, American football. We cross the border to play soccer against Mexico. Why couldn't the United States pick a team? And I just used the large cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. I mean, why couldn't we just take a team from those cities and say, okay, you can go play in this Premier League, but you have to be American born players, and not necessarily be the national team. It could be a bunch of players that go over there that give us exposure. And I think that's, to me, the only way I'm going to become interested in is if the United States goes across the pond and they kick Manchester United's ass, kick Chelsea's ass. That's what needs to be done in order for us as a country to make this sport become relevant, because like you guys said in the past, many a times, if we're not that good at it, we don't care about it. So we're not that good at it. In order to become good at it, we need to kick somebody's ass. We did it to the Russians in 1980 in Lake Placid. Why can't we do it again on the soccer field? And maybe the sport will grow.
again, Chad, it's just, you know, if you're looking at this from a European perspective, that is absolutely crazy, because in Europe, these guys are all about tradition, and where you're from, you know, that's your team. It's not like the Astros, you know, they might go to Houston. I mean, they're in Houston now, but, you know, maybe the franchise will move to, say, Los Angeles or something like that. You know, the team, Liverpool Football Club, they are, you know, Liverpool is who they are. They're never going to leave. That's why a team like, you know, if the Los Angeles Galaxy wanted to transition to you know, the Premier League, they could not do that. You have to be British. In Britain, it's all about, you know, just representing your city and having pride and that sort of thing. Teams don't move around, like franchises don't move around like we see in the United States for money purposes. Teams that are going out of business, you know, their fans, they go into the boardrooms and they, you know, they physically give money back to the team to keep them in business. A team like the Galaxy would never be able to compete in the Premier League just because for the fact that they're not British. And I know in the NHL we see teams with Canada and America, but, you know, in the next millennium, we will never see anything like that. It's just, it's all about tradition over there, and that won't happen.
Right, and I think the important thing is not to take a group of Americans over somewhere else, because if you look at the great teams in the world, they're not just made up of Germans, Spaniards. I mean, Lionel Messi is not Spanish, and he plays for Barcelona. He's Argentinian. So you're still gathering all these people. There's just such a larger group to choose from for good teams in the world. You know, Clint Dempsey's doing, he does phenomenal things, and he's an American, and he does really well. Tim Howard has been successful in the English Premier League. We definitely have Americans who are out there who are successful. It's not like we need to take a group of us and play them against a team that exists. I mean, that would be like taking a group of English people and playing against the Giants. You know, it wouldn't make sense to us, and it wouldn't make sense to them. That's not... I think we're looking at it from one viewpoint of American viewpoint, and it's a global sport. And it goes back to what I was saying about baseball. It's, we don't win the World Baseball Classic, so therefore we don't really care, even though it's a bunch of Major League Baseball players. It goes back to, if we're not winning it, we don't really care. It also, as far as the money goes, they definitely, soccer players make a lot of money, and there are people buying into those teams. If you look how valuable the teams are in the world, as far as Real Madrid, Manchester United, their worth is a lot more than what you would have even in an NFL team. They're worth more than that because globally, people care about it.
But couldn't they make more if the United States was involved? And maybe I was wrong saying just put a bunch of American players on a team. Get involved. And I understand tradition. Well, Bud Selig shot tradition right straight up Rob's ass, and he still likes baseball. So,
I think the answer again is no, because the world does not need, or soccer does not need the United States. They have the rest of the world, and I think that's important.
Yeah, they're doing just fine without us, you know, and... You know, it goes back to the whole ugly American thing, you know, that they don't even really want us to begin with.
I have two words that will fix this. Two words. Mark Cuban.
I was hoping you were going to go with Maria Sharapova, because she fixes everything.
Well, that's a different kind of fix. And that's not the family-friendly show. We can't talk about that.
And gentlemen, that sounds like a good place to end the show this week. Let's go around the horn and tell everybody where we can find you. Start with Connor. Connor, where can we find you on the net?
You can follow me on Twitter at @C_Morissette. And then again, I'm on the Sports Blast on the Sports Jam Network. That is my show alongside Andrew Sear. We do that usually Saturdays at 10, but sometimes the time fluctuates.
Todd, how about you?
Lee, take it away. Now we're on the Nikki X Happy Hour. You can find us there. You can find us on Sports Jam. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on... We got your breath. You can find us on TuneIn. You can find us in lots and lots and lots of places. Facebook, all that other happy stuff. Anything else, Lee?
Yes. Don't forget Common Bounce, which is the show about soccer.
And tennis,
which shows Friday on the Sports Jam Network at 8:30, and also a Twitter account at the Common Bounce.
It's from 8:30 to 8:37 every Friday.
It's from 8:30 to 8:31. It's very quick.
Chad, how about you?
You can find me, obviously, right here on Sports Jam Network on this great show called Sports Jam every week with Rob Steele, sometimes with other guys, but we won't mention their names this week. And every Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, we talk something that is actually more popular than what we talked about today, and that's fantasy. Fantasy Jam with Andrew the Fish Fane. If you want to catch me on Twitter, I've been going off on a bunch of tangents lately, at Sports Jam Chad.
Just to add real fast, there is fantasy soccer as well.
And we know. but we don't talk about it.
Yeah, you mentioned Sharapov already.
Yeah, there's fantasy NASCAR too, and you know we won't talk about that either.
Thank God.
Gentlemen, I wanted to thank you for being on the show. I also wanted to thank you for listening to the show. Tune in next week when we tackle and possibly even injure another topic in the world of sports. So until then, my name's Rob Steele, and you've been listening to Sports Jam on the Sports Jam Network.